The Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Alex Ferrario and Chris Ranji and Brad Barnes for the afternoon. Stalter and Thompson are out, and we go to the Brown and Crouppen celebrity line as we bring in Coach Rick Venturi, who is joining us now. We're going to talk some football with him. How you doing, Rick?
Hey, I'm doing great. Great to be on with you guys at 101. You know, that's kind of that's my home. That's my baptism. Gave me my start, and a lot of friends in St. Louis that I miss. And give my best to Randy Carricker. He was my mentor when I started this business.
Randy was your mentor.
Yes, he was.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about that.
Yes, he was.
Okay. Well, I will do that. First of all, how is the broadcasting gig going now? You are working for the Colts as an analyst. You've been with that organization for a long time. How are you enjoying that?
Well, I really do enjoy it. You know, it all kind of happened in a different way. I did a lot of stuff here. I did the TV preseason games. And the Colts approached me in the wintertime. I'm really excited about it. It's, you know, it really is as close to coaching as you could be. I mean, you're live, you're there. And if you guys know me, I spend probably 24 to 26 hours a week on tape, not to wear that on my sleeve. I just enjoy doing it. And I really get ready for the game just like I was going to coach it. So I'm really enjoy it. I'm teamed up with one of the great young guys, Matt Taylor, one of the great young voices in the game, as good as there is. We've done a lot of stuff together. And so we really, really enjoy it together. And luckily for us, we're having a heck of a year.
You know, it's interesting to hear you say that you really enjoy doing it and you really enjoy talking, because just a couple of days ago, Anthony Stalter, who's my regular co-host, he's out today. You know, he just said that when he was doing the post-game show for the Rams, that he wanted to call you and just ask you a couple of real quick football questions. And he said, we were on the phone for 3 hours. You know, the guy just loves to talk.
Yeah.
He just loves to talk football, and he gave me all of his time.
Yeah, Anthony and I go way back. He was getting his start there, too. And we had many, many discussions. Excuse me. You there?
Yeah, we're still here.
Okay, yeah. No, we had many, many discussions. He was just getting started. I was just getting started. And I do love the game. And, you know, the word around here is ask him a question and he'll take a half hour. So
perfect.
So, Rick, I got to ask you about the Colts. This is Alex Ferrario. I'm curious your thoughts on this team, because they have kind of been up and down this season, but their most recent performance over the weekend, I think, solidified a lot of people's opinions on the Colts that they are a legit contender in this AFC.
Yeah, there's no question that was a huge win in a, you know, real marquee game, a national audience. They flexed the game to 4:30. This team has played very well, Alex, for 3 weeks. There was some erratic play early, but this is a real solid contender. It's not a flashy team. You know, it's not sexy. You can't, you know, it's not explosive necessarily. But they also are a team that is pretty, pretty deep, doesn't have a lot of liabilities. You know, I think they're really getting the maximum out of Phillip Rivers. I think he's really changed the landscape here. You know, he's brought a passing game, an accuracy, a leadership, a kind of a snarky leadership that we really kind of needed. You don't always need it, but we needed it in this situation. And then, you know, the Colts defense has made a great transition, you know, from kind of falling off the edge in 19. They rank at the top in almost everything. And, you know, they've been outstanding. The special teams are elite. So kind of when you look at the Colts, they're maybe not recognizable to a lot of people out there, but it's a team with very few liabilities. And I think because of that, I mean, I think they're going to be in the hunt.
Yeah, and they right now are in great position to win that division. They've got at the moment the tiebreaker over Tennessee, and you would think that it's certainly going to be a playoff team, whether it's wild card or whether it's division winner. They're going to be in. What sort of run can this Colts team make once they finally get there?
Well, I wouldn't count them out anywhere because, as I said, they don't have the big liability that some teams have. And with the exception of Pittsburgh, the rest of the way, we don't really face a really good defensive team. Most of the defensive teams are bottom third teams other than Pittsburgh. And, you know, that gives us a great advantage because even though they're good offensively, it kind of plays to our strength. Now, you know, you're exactly right. I mean, as it stands right now with this record, you know, you should be playoff bound. Now, we go from, you know, the frying pan with Green Bay last week, and we go to, we have Tennessee coming in here this Sunday, and that is really a huge game because a win over Tennessee, you know, essentially gives you two games and tiebreakers and everything else in the division, along with taking a great step. So, you know, it's out of the frying pan into the fire here against Tennessee. And that game 2 weeks ago with them is a little distorted in the score. I told people then, don't gloat on it, because with 5 minutes to go in the third quarter, they actually led, and then they had a five-minute meltdown. They had a shank punt, a blocked punt for a touchdown, a missed field goal, and the game went from like 17, you know, it went like from 17-13, all of a sudden it's Colts 34-17 and you don't even notice it. But I think if you take that meltdown out of there, that was going to be a real nail biter. These two teams really get after it, so you know, I expect another really 60-minute the war on Sunday.
Rick, I'm curious just your overall view on this AFC, because unlike the NFC, it doesn't seem like it's wide open for anyone. Of course, you got the juggernaut that is the Chiefs and the undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers. But from those two, how do you view this overall AFC?
Yeah, you're exactly right. I've peeked a little bit at the Steelers. We have them coming up. You know, obviously they have no blemishes. You know, but they've played a lot of tight games. It isn't like they've really run away with a lot of people. They haven't routed people. You know, Kansas City, we're very familiar with. You know, we've played them in the playoffs. We had a great upset of them last year, if you remember, beating them 19-3 in Kansas City. Dominated time of possession with 37 minutes. You know, so we understand those guys. You know, I think the Browns, who basically beat us early, it was a very close game. You know, I think they're a legitimate contender. You know, I think, you know, Gruden has the Raiders, I think, as a really good contender as you go. You know, so, I mean, there's a bunch of competition in there, you know, a bunch of teams around that 6-4, 7-3, you know, it's going to be really competitive as we get in there.
You know, you mentioned the Kansas City Chiefs, and I happen to be a Bears fan, for better or worse, and one of our listeners sent me a photo of Patrick Mahomes with a Bears uniform superimposed on him. Yeah, right. He's taunting me. He's taunting me by doing this. And I do have people who will tell me, hey, you know what, don't feel too bad, because he probably wouldn't be this good if the Bears had drafted him. All right? So I want, now, is that true? Would Patrick Mahomes not be as good if he weren't in the situation with Andy Reid that he's in now?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I mean, I think greatness is greatness. I think he was going to be a great player wherever he went. I think it was probably his development in where he is at this point. I don't think it is a part of playing for a guy like Andy Reid, who does a great job offensively. You know, they really brought him along. You know, they didn't just throw him in there. They let him sit for a while, and then he got in there. But he is a magnificent player. You know, I've been doing this for years. I mean, I coached in the league 27 years. I've covered it for 10 years. You know, I was a fan. I go way back, you know, even into the 50s, and pro football has pretty much been my life. And I've got to say, and I know it's just a snapshot and it's not a real long one right now, but I have never seen a guy play the game like he does. I just think that he is in another class. I think, you know, Elway in his prime is the closest, and he's a great kid with it. And he's a great face for the NFL. It just couldn't be better. We couldn't, you know, we couldn't be in better shape with Mahomes. But, you know, no one puts pressure on you on a defense like he does. He's one of those few guys that can beat you in the pocket. And then when he starts scrambling, then the adventure really begins.
So what I think I heard you just say is Mitch Trubisky will be just as good someday.
Even if he has Andy Reid, that's not happening.
Dang it. All
love
right,
to
great.
Hear it, Rick. Love to hear
I,
it.
Well, I don't know if I do.
So, Rick, talking about Pat Mahomes, you know, I think the biggest question right now in pro football, at least from fans' perspective and other teams, is how are you going to stop this team? Like, how do you stop Patrick Mahomes if you're matched up against them? And coming from a former defensive coordinator, I'd love to get your view on that.
Well, you know, I'm going to go around it because I think it's a complex issue, number one, not just in the degree of difficulty. You know, and we talked about this with Aaron Rodgers because I think he's in that conversation in the last 12 years when we got ready to play him last week. And I related back to when I was with the Saints and would come into St. Louis in that two-year run where the greatest show on turf was just absolutely ridiculous in how they moved the ball. And I think one of the things that you have to do, it has to be a team issue. You know, ball possession in itself isn't always the biggest factor in a game. But when you play these great quarterbacks, these Hall of Fame guys, ball possession is everything. You know, the Colts beat the Packers. No short reason was the Colts held the ball 35 minutes. I told you a year ago the Colts held the ball 37 minutes against Mahomes. And every possession that you cut, we used to tell our teams when we came to St. Louis, you know, if the Rams have the ball, if they have it 13 possessions, we're in trouble. If we cut it to 10, we're going to beat them. And I think that's how you start. Number one, you've got to have a ball possession game like we did last time. I think number two, you got to really get up in their face. I think you got to bring five most of the day against them. I think you got to play man-to-man, lean to Hill, mix it up on third down on Kelsey. You got to have some double situationally on him. But you have to play him very, very aggressively, hopefully cut his innings to seven, and you know, go out there and play a good game. Our game was 19-13. That is probably the best blueprint I've ever seen in the last 2 years, and that doesn't mean you could do it again. But like I said, he's the best I've ever seen. Just, you know, you love to watch him play unless you're coaching against him. With all these young quarterbacks that can move, like I told somebody the other day, I'm very happy the coaching career is in the rearview mirror.